This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, give us eyes to see you when you come among us. Give us courageous spirits willing to risk your presence, willing to endure your judgments, able to receive your mercy, able to walk down the road that you invite us to walk. Help us to hear anew the Advent message that the kingdom of God does not come effortlessly, but with patient preparation. Amen. Good morning. Well, there was no Costco trip this week. You had to be here last week to understand that little reference, but you can hear it on the web if you would like. But there was, as many of you know, a trip to St. Louis to surprise my mother for her 85th birthday. She thought that it was just my sister and my other sister and their families gathering for a small dinner in my sister's basement. Little did she know that I was coming in and fixing a gourmet meal for 30 of her closest family and friends. So the plan was that I would be in the kitchen finishing up what we needed to do. She had to pass through the kitchen to get to the basement. I would disappear into the back room, she would go downstairs, and there would be 30 people yelling, "Surprise, happy birthday," and start singing happy birthday. We get to the last line of the song, and then I would break in with, "Happy birthday to you," and there I am. All went according to plan. My mother, when she saw me, turned absolutely white. I thought she was going to have another heart attack. But she said these classic words that will go down in our family history. She looked at me and she said, "What are you doing here?" $300 plane ticket, $300 worth of food for that. But the question that she raised when I start reflecting on this gospel for the third Sunday of Advent is a very appropriate one. And it's one we need to ask ourselves. What are you doing here? Why did you choose to get up this morning and be here? It is the question as well that I think Jesus would be asking John this week. John, what are you doing? Isn't there an incredible contrast between the John the Baptist of last week and the John the Baptist of this week? Last week, we had someone who we would image as this proud, self-confident, proud in the good sense, self-confident man preaching, repent, change your lives, taking on whatever he needed to take on, and having all these people come out to the wilderness to him because of his strong personality, his genuine sincerity. And here we have a man this week who seems to be cowering in fear, cowering in doubt, perhaps depression. And from the question he sends to Jesus, "Are you the one? Are we to wait for another?" Someone who must be questioning the whole thing, thinking that maybe this whole thing was for naught, that his whole life was a waste. Here is the John that even when he was in his mother Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy when he came into the presence of Jesus. It's like he knew before he was born who this Jesus was, and now he's doubting. Here is the John who walked around pointing fingers and saying, "He's the one, not me, he's the one. I'm not fit to untie his sandals." Here is the John who, when Jesus comes to him to be baptized in the River Jordan, John says, "I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." And then the Spirit comes out of the sky and says, "This is my beloved Son." You would think that if there was anybody who would know who this Jesus was, no matter what happened in his life, it would be John. And yet that doesn't happen, does it? John sits alone in a dark, dank prison cell. Why is he there? He's there because he did the things that he continued to do in his ministry, that he called a spade. He spoke the truth. And there was this man by the name of Herod, not Herod the Great, but his son. And his son was more a scoundrel than the first one. And he lusted after his brother's wife. He has an affair with her, decides he wants to be with her. So what does he do? He has his brother killed so that he can be with his brother's wife. You talk about a scoundrel. And John calls him on it, as you would expect John to do. And as a result, John is in prison. And now he's questioning everything. So what does Jesus do? He doesn't answer the question, does he? He sends messengers back to John with more questions. What do you see, John, that's going on? And he says, don't you see that the deaf are hearing, that the blind are seeing, that the sick are being healed, that the poor are having the good news preached to them, that people are being raised from the dead? He's quoting from that first book of Isaiah that John would have known very, very well. He's trying to tell John, don't miss the signs. He's trying to tell John, be aware of what is going on. You know, you're in a valley right now, but don't forget the peaks that are there as well, that you have done your part, that it is not all for naught, that you have fulfilled your purpose. Now, how many of us, I know it happens to me, we get to those points in our lives in the valleys and we think, boy, this was all a waste, wasn't it? But we need to go back to those times when we remember, when we are attuned to seeing the signs of God's blessings. This, my friends, is why I made such a big deal before Thanksgiving with us all about at least writing down on a piece of paper one thing, one blessing that God has given us that we're aware of in our lives. Because if we are not aware of those blessings at the good times, boy, are the bad times going to be difficult to get through. I would think that when that message came back to John, he was knocking himself in the head saying, Jesus, you're right. This is what I preached the whole time, and now I need to hear you preach it back to me. This Advent time, you know, we celebrate the historical Jesus who came 2,000 plus years ago. We look forward to the time when that Jesus will return in triumph. But there's that middle time when we celebrate him entering into our hearts. And the thing is, we only get this little capsule of the whole story. We only get this little piece in our lives. And just like John, there are many things that we are going to do. There are many ways that we are going to live good lives and be good people that we are never going to realize the positive impact we have had on the world and the people around us. That's the way it is. Look at John. Had he not done it, had he tried to call the attention to himself, maybe the whole story would have changed. But we need to go to that second reading where we hear, patience. Patience, people. Look at the farmer. He waters the crops. He fertilizes the crops. But you know what? Sometimes those crops are going to bear fruit after we are long gone. But it wouldn't have happened if we weren't there to water it, if we weren't there to fertilize it. It is so important for us. Why are you here? Perhaps it is to remember the hope, the peace, and the joy, all that we are talking about in this season, where that has been experienced in your own life so that we'll have strength in those prison times. Maybe not physical, but emotional. Maybe financial now for some, spiritual. It is so important for us to do that. I ran across a little modern parable. It's attributed to someone by the name of Susan Andrews. And it goes something like this. There's this lady. She's depressed. It's Christmas time. She's aware of all the wars in the world and all the bad things that are happening. And she is just doing really bad in her head and her heart. And so she does what most Americans would do at that point. She goes shopping. So she goes to the mall and she sees this store. And she's intrigued by this store. And it's like the guy behind the counter looks just amazingly like she would picture Jesus to look like. So she walks into the store. She says, "Are you Jesus?" And he says, "Yes, I am." She says, "Do you work here?" And Jesus says, "Well, as a matter of fact, I own the store." "Well, what do you sell here?" And Jesus says, "Well, it works like this. You go down these aisles, and you take a piece of paper, and you write down anything you see there that you want, and then you bring that back list back to me, and we'll see what we can do for you." So she does that. She goes down aisle one, and there's peace on earth. She writes it down. No more wars. She writes it down. No more sickness. She writes it down. And on and on and on. She gets more excited, and she writes this list that's a mile long. She brings it back up to Jesus. He says, "Well, no problem. We can take care of that." He reaches under the counter and hands her this little packet. And she says, "What's this?" Jesus says, "These are the seeds for all these things that you want. You got to plant the seeds." "You mean I don't get the finished product?" "No, it's your job to plant those seeds. And maybe some future generation will experience what you want because of what you chose to do." We just get a little snapshot here in our lives. There's enough of the blessings that we do experience that we hope that that will give us the joy, that will give us the peace, that will give us the hope, so that when those prison times come, we, like John, will be reminded the big picture and our purpose in it. Amen.